Good morning, everyone. Morning. It's always lovely to hear the chatter. I was sitting there at the back talking to someone, completely forgot myself, and they said to me, "Are you coming up?" I'm like, no. Oh, yes. So I'd have stayed there chatting, waiting for the speaker. It's me. Hi, everyone. For those who don't know me, who I haven't met, my name is Angie Anya. Married to you, Dianya, sits there at the back. We've got two little girls in youth, well, growing girls in youth and kids. So we've been going through a series on God restoring his people. And I've been asked to speak on Revelations 2, 1 to 7. So for those who like the title of today's teaching is First Love. And I think if you've been in church for a while, I think you would have heard a message on restoring the first love. Actually, if you have, can you give me a wave? First love. Okay. A few. Excellent. So I suppose for those of us who know, this would be to add to what you know, a reminder. For those who haven't, well, great. We will look at it today. And I've only got two thoughts for us to consider. The first one, before we go into reading the scripture, is that it is possible to work for, labor for, sing to the Lord and not love him, or love him as we once did. And the second one is, we love God because he first loved us. So in order to love God, we need a revelation of him and his love for us. Two things today. And I'll leave a question which I wouldn't come back to, but I'll leave it for us. And it is for us, for myself as well, unless there's a change of plan, but that's the intention, not to come back to it. What's driving your relationship with God? If you've got one at the moment, if you haven't, there'll be a chance at the end. Is it fear? Is it guilt? Is it something else, or is it love? And I'll leave that question. I've got a story to tell later, but before we focus on the main thoughts, I noticed that not everybody raised their hand when I asked about restoring our first love. So I will do a bit of scene setting just to cover the basis, and then we'll go from there. And then when I do start, the scriptures will come up at some point. I think they might come up soon anyway, or have. So, Revelations 1, and I'm not going to read it. I'll just tell it. John was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. He was exiled to the island in Greece called Patmos. And whilst he was there, in that island, be a perfect place for today, wouldn't it? Anyway, while he was there, I don't know if he would be, but I imagine there'll be a sea breeze and the rest. He had a revelation of Jesus, and this is what happened. John heard a voice behind him saying, and it was a loud voice, like a trumpet. And he said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last." And then the voice said to John, "Write in a book what you see, and when you've written it, send it to the seven churches in Asia." One of those churches was a church in Ephesus, and that's where our focus will be today. So, of course, if any of us, if you heard a loud voice behind you, John turned to see, you know, this voice that was speaking, and what he saw was seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of them, John saw who he described as a son of man, i.e. Jesus, just in simple terms. He was wearing a robe down to his feet, and John began to describe him. He said his hair and his head was white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes, I hope I remember, were like flame of fire. His feet was fine brass, as though it had been refined in a furnace. In his right hand, he had seven stars. Out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. His own face, the Son of Man, Jesus, was like the sun in full strength. Like, just imagine this. Not surprisingly, the man fell as though dead. I don't blame him. And Jesus put his right hand on him and said to him, "Don't be afraid," and repeated what he said, "I am the first and the last. I am the one who lives. I was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys to Hades and of death. I have the keys of death and of Hades." And then Jesus says to John, "Everything you hear, write it. Both of the things that are happening now and the things that will take place after." So finally then, Jesus said to John, "You see the seven stars? You know, it's a mystery. What seven stars? They are the seven angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." So Jesus, when John saw him, was walking in the middle of the seven lampstands. So now let's read Revelation 2, 1 to 7. And that's our main passage for today. So he says then, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Comes my first point. And I know I've started quite seriously. I'm aware of that. I'm well aware. It is possible, it's very possible, to work for, labor for, sing to the Lord and not love him. Or not love him as we once did. Did you notice how many things Jesus listed here? I counted them. And he's saying, "I know. I know your works, number one. I know your labor, two. I know your patience, three. I know that you cannot bear those who are evil, four. And that you have tested those who say they are apostles and have found that they are not, found them to be liars. That's five. Six, you have perseverance. Seven, you have patience. Eight, you have labored for my name. Nine, you haven't become weary." And I was thinking, then I'm waiting for the commendation. Like, nine things. Come on, Lord. Great things. In my mind, I thought, commendation is coming next for a job well done. But that's not what he did. He then said, nevertheless, there's this thing that I've got against you. You've forgotten your first love. Remember from where you fell. That was pretty serious. And for me, it felt quite contradictory. How was this possible? So when I think of that church, that's quite a mature church. A church that could, you know, somebody comes and says, I'm an apostle, or whatever, however they said it. And they are able to sift them and say, no, you're not an apostle. That's a mature church. And some of us must be sitting here thinking, of course, I know the Lord. I've been a Christian, and so am I. That was a mature church. And look at all the things they've done. They were laboring. They were patient people. They were persevering. They weren't even going weary. So why? What was it that Jesus was still saying, you've left your first love? And sometimes when I read this, there might be this temptation to like, oh my goodness, I feel a bit guilty. I must try and love the Lord better somehow. Or the Lord thinks I don't love him enough. And that's not where I want us to get to at all. At all. You might hear me say often, no guilt, no fear. That's not the source for loving the Lord. Never from a place of guilt or fear. And I'll get to how we get there, or what it is that we need to be looking at. I'd look at 1 Corinthians 13. And again, that's another passage of scripture that feels contradictory to me. You speak so eloquently. People say, oh my goodness, he speaks so well. She speaks so well. And then you've got this gift of prophecy. Prophecy. You hear from heaven and then you prophesy. And then you understand mysteries and knowledge. And then you possess faith, faith that can move mountains. Wow. Amazing stuff. Stuff that, when we say generals of faith, all of this stuff. And Paul is saying without love, sounding cymbal, clanging cymbal, nothing. And then the bit that really gets to me is, it says, you give all our goods to feed the poor. What could be better than that? All. He'd even say some. All the goods to feed the poor. Then we give our bodies to be burned. And I'm thinking, how do you give all your goods to feed the poor, give your body to be burned, but don't have love? How does that work? So it is possible. That is just the message. It is possible. It is so possible to give a million gifts, to stand here, to spend all the money in the world, but not love the Lord. And that is what he's pointing at again and again. There's this scripture in Song of Solomon's 8:7 that talks about somebody trying to buy love, with all the money in the world. And some people do try to do that, give a million things, trying to buy love. And the Bible says that will be utterly despised. You can't, love is not for sale. You can't buy people or love, no matter how many things or money is given. And then I'll just give you a couple of scriptures. 2 Chronicles 25, 1-2, the Bible talks about this king, Amaziah, who did right in the sight of God, but not with a loyal heart. Again, I'm like, these two things don't match. How do you do right, not in human sight, but the heart is not loyal? Which brings me back to, this is a heart thing. So the Lord is less interested in the outward showing of activities and things. He's looking at the heart. And that often is what is between us and him. That's not seen. Do you know what I mean? You can look at me and like, OMG, you love the Lord. Well, me and the Lord know. And that's where the crux of the issue is, the heart. Remember Martha and Mary in Luke 10. Sorry. It says that Martha was distracted. Distracted with much serving. And when she said to Jesus, "Don't you care?" Jesus actually said to her, "You're worried and troubled about many things. Mary has picked the best of them, and it's not going to get taken away." One was distracted, the other was focused. Distraction, focus. One was worried and troubled about many things. The other had all of her ears and heart on Jesus. The Lord is not looking for tons of activities. That is good. So this is not us saying, you know, don't serve, don't do stuff, because we need that. But it is about the heart. Again, he says, "These people, you know, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." This is a heart issue. Heart, the heart. Do our hearts still know the Lord? Do we love him? And love is not just the songs and the things that we do. How does love show up? And I find it amazing because, you know, people talk about like love. It's the thing in the world, isn't it? The things they write, movies and books that we know about. It's not, this is not a new topic. The things I'm saying, it's not some deep theological truth, you know? But Jesus, the teacher of teachers, you know, the one, like, no matter how brilliant a teacher of the word of God is, when I heard somebody say that, when we get to heaven, everybody will sit down and the word of God will manifest himself, right? We can be brilliant at teaching, exposing expositions, theology. This is the word of God. Yeah? He is the word. And that is the person saying, "Your heart, your first love." So no, I know. It's not the depth of it this morning, but there's something the Lord is wanting from us. But it's not about beating ourselves up. Like I said, love is a matter of the heart. Now here comes the second point. It is that we love God not because we try, but because he first loved us. So we see him and we respond to him. I know I always come back to prayer. I realize it. I don't apologize for it. Sorry. If prayer is boring, no guilt, no fear, it is you haven't found. There is a need for a revelation of the love of God. Because anybody who has fallen in love or about to or in the process of, I don't know, you will know that phone ping pong that you used to do. Don't look at me. I know you all. I'm looking at you. You know, like, hello, hello. You're talking back and forth. You walk from one end to the other. You come back. Prayer in the presence of God from a place of love That is the foundation of it. And you stay there because of love, not due to fear. We love God because he first loved us. I'll share a bit of my story. I don't know if I've done that before, but I'll do it anyway. It's just a highlight. It's only parts of it, so it's not all of it. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, my immediate older sister, she was 5 years older, so either 12 or 13, she talked to me about Jesus. She gave me a child's tract. In the tract, you know, the pamphlet, if you know what a tract is, just a pamphlet. In that pamphlet were two stick people. There was Sunshine, the stick person, and there was, can't remember the other person's name. Sunshine received Jesus, you know, child's tract, and Jesus came and lived in their heart. And so it was a case of, if you want to receive Jesus, pray the prayer. I made the prayer. I went back to her, I said, I've prayed the prayer. That was it. But somehow there was an understanding at that age, which is, you should never knock the faith of children. God wanted to be my friend. That was it. It was a relationship. And so, fast forward, when I turned 11, my brother then, who was about 9 years old, gave me a Bible. I was going off to secondary school. Gave me a Bible. He said, you know, read it daily, all of that. And I didn't have the privilege of a children's church as we know it, because that wasn't my home. We went to church, but I wasn't in the children's church. I used to go to catechism, as it was called in those days. But anyway, that was a friendship with God. And so the prayer at that time, the whatever of faith, came from a position of God wants to get to know you. Now, even though it's my story and I've just given a very brief summary, I'm not the center of that story. Think about it. The God who made everything, looks for a 7-year-old who didn't have any sort of knowledge and said, I'd like to draw alongside you. And the point is, it's not about how old we are or not, but that God meets you wherever you are and takes you seriously at whatever point that we are. Now, I know that there are Christians in the room, so this is not a new message to you. But there's something that the Lord is pulling back on. Have you noticed in the scripture, he always goes to where people are at? He's created the heavens and the earth. He comes down to the garden to walk. Abraham was minding his business. God came alongside and said, Abraham, Abraham. Moses was doing his job. And God came and said, oh, Moses, Moses. Hagar was busy running away. And the Lord said, where are you going? Different people. Matthew was minding his tax booth. And Jesus said, hey, Matthew, come. John, James were busy fishing. He said, come. What does he need? Like, this being who John described, who is glorious and fantastic and amazing, and all the things that we study, that we know, and because we know it so well, we sometimes gloss over it. Brilliant scientists, brilliant artists, brilliant whoever you are, everything that we study and say has come from him. People talk about NASA, the person who made the NASA, not the NASA, made the universe and the stars and the galaxies and the Milky Way that we name and do stuff for, comes to us. But sometimes we can't even get access to whoever the important people are, whoever the brilliant people are. They're too brilliant. You book an appointment. Oh, they've discovered this thing. Therefore, you know, very important people. But the one who made them comes to where we are. But because we hear it so often, just think about somebody who has never heard the gospel, understands there's a God, and you say to them, the maker comes to look for you. Why? What, hasn't he got other things to do? Is he not busy keeping the earth spinning and revolving and rotating and whatever? He comes looking for you, knows you by name. Paul, in writing to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 3:14-19, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That was his prayer to this church. There's so much human condition, different things that we grapple with every single week or day. Anybody who works here or who's studying, you're solving some human problem. There is something. But the core problem sometimes is that identity of who we are and what we are. How we're connected to the Lord and who we are in him. That understanding and self-acceptance that we belong to the Lord of hosts. Because we cannot love him except that revelation comes from him. Simple, and I know it. And I realized as I was preparing for this message, I was saying to myself, this feels like 101. Anybody who's been a Christian, surely we know this. But that's where I landed. And I realized I cannot reveal the love of Jesus. I can try. I can talk to us about all the things he's done. I can wax lyrical. I cannot reveal the love of Jesus. It is a thing that the Holy Spirit does in us. And that is irrespective of where we are in our journey of faith. A revelation. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And those are the two messages. But I want us to pray. I want us to pray, even if you've been a Christian for a long time, even if you know the scripture, there is something that the Lord wants to reveal to us today. And so we're just going to pray. You can stand, you can sit, you can just be comfortable. And what I'd like us to do is to ask the Father for a revelation of Jesus. John knew him on earth, but he still came again to reveal, and that was the first thing he said to him, and the first and the last. And the thing he said to the church in Ephesus, I see you. I see all the things you're doing. But I'm after the heart. There are too many things competing for our attention in this day and age. Too many things. And so let us pray. Don't wait for me. Just ask the Lord. You might be mature in faith. Still ask the Lord for a fresh revelation of his love. For a revelation of Jesus. For a heart that is totally loyal to him. Jesus walks in the midst of the lampstands, and he is here. Can you just pray? Pray out. There is a simplicity in Jesus, and he's just calling us back. Lord, we thank you. You are the one who walked in the garden, in the cool of the evening. Just the simple act of walking. You're the one that Enoch walked with. A simple act of walking. You're the one who spoke to Abraham, and then you came and you stayed with him, ate with him, talked to him. You're the one who called Moses. And you call unto us even now. Jesus, you're the one who called your disciples. The Bible says, first to be with you. First to be with you. Help our hearts. Shine your light. The Bible says the heart of a person can be quite deceptive. Just help us, O God. May we have a fresh revelation of who you are. And may we have another revelation of your love. Your love for us. And that you're asking for a relationship. You're asking for a heart that is not distracted. That even now our minds are not wandering. And we're just centered on you. Back to you. Bring us back to you, God. Take us deeper in you. Help us to have a revelation, a growing revelation of Jesus, and a growing revelation of the love of God. It's nothing else you're asking. You're asking for our hearts and time and attention and minds and strength. We shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. Help us, God, and thank you. And even in the simplicity of this message, may he travel with us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
A word in season, a word of encouragement. We're going to sing our final song, so I invite you to rise to your feet if you're willing and able. And this song that we're going to sing is No Longer Slaves, giving us a fresh revelation of who God is and what he's done for us. We might in turn love him, know him.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with your song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Chosen me, love has called my name. I've been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. My mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins.
Say, I'm no longer
a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Yes, I am.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
See, I am a child.
I am a child.
See,
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child
of God.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
sea so I can walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and say, thank you, Lord, that we could be found in you. And as Angie spoke today, Lord, that we love because you first loved us. For some of us in the room, Lord, maybe you need a fresh revelation of who you are in order for us to love you, to go back to our first love once again, or to encounter you for the very first time. Jesus, I pray that we would go with this in our week, that the God of the universe, the God who holds all things together, is interested in each and every one of us here today and those who are watching online. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Now, you may be in a room today and you maybe want someone to pray with you. We do have a ministry prayer team or prayer ministry team who would love to pray with you. They got green lanyards on and you could be as discreet as you want to. You could tell them everything that you want to, but they're just there to listen and to pray for you. So I'd love for you to make use of that. And for those that's in the room, there's teas and coffees. For those who have children and young people down in their programs, they will be up around about 5:30. So just give them about 5 or 6 minutes to finish up down there. But I pray you have a great rest of your week. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you for joining us. And for those who joined us online, be blessed. We look forward to seeing you next week, Sunday, at the same time.